You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To connect to our always on and always streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. To listen to the live stream, go to fake11.com/radio2. Now, on with the audio chat.
This is Klaus Fob from the Viral Economic Forum, and you're listening to Ike talking to himself before Abba Ato turns back up again on the, I think it's the, what is the date? The 30th of April before the pinch and the punch of the first of the month tomorrow. The 29th, and tomorrow will be the 30th. And then there'll be the pinch and the punch on the Monday. Anyway, we were waiting for the Aborato, the wonderful Ankley man from Ontario, and I will speak to you shortly. Thank you very much, Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum. And Aborato, fakeologist.com, is going to be on here very shortly, I do believe. I thought he was having a holiday, but as soon as he had a holiday, he's got sick, apparently. But he's a little bit better, so hopefully he'll turn up. I've just had an incredibly arduous last 2 days. Someone donated to my the Make Rick Have a Decent Kitchen Fund by donating their very expensive fittings, and I volunteered to take them from Sydney to my house, and I had no idea how I was going to do it, and I would suspect a broken right foot and a terrible tendon injury on my left leg, and somehow I did it. It was very arduous. Someone donated a ute to me, or said you can borrow my ute, and I just lent him my van and was pro bono, is it what you say, for no cost. And somehow I lugged this fridge, which is a giant 5'10" say Kelvinator. Oh, not Kelvinator. It was a New Zealand brand. Very good fridge. Weighed a ton. And I'm in my fading days of being strong, but managed to get it on the back of a ute with a dishwasher and a 6-burner Bosch oven and cooktop gas worth a few thousand dollars easily. The stuff would have cost about 15 to buy. Nowadays it'd be probably worth, say, a third. But anyway, I've got it in my garage now. Very difficult to do. Somehow I did it. Probably thanks to Luke Biskin or Luke 11. Frank. Luke 11. A lot of that was said before, and it worked. A lot of arduous lifting. Miracles happened. Someone came and helped me tie it all down. Good friend of mine, one of the best. And it's there, but then I mowed my lawns with my dodgy lawnmower that's got one side's not working properly, just like me. And everything's good in the mid-north coast, be told. So Ab will be here shortly. And what else? I've now stuffed my garage with more, not useless, but things that I'm not using at the moment. So what's the word? Hoarding. It's a hoarder's delight in there. And the National Hoarding Society has phoned me and said that you've got to stop now. They called me this morning and said, that's enough. You're taking it too far. Because my garage, you've got to walk in there and kind of, it's like going through the a labyrinth in a tomb of a minor deity in Egypt. You know, we have to kind of crawl through different spaces and climb over the top of things. But not as bad. And I've got to say, this very interesting character used to have a little shop in Roselle, which is in the inner city of Balmain, back in the day. It was called Ancestry Antiques. And this guy, he was a hoarder. And I saw with my own eyes, one day I saw he was renting a garage a couple of doors up the road. And I saw him open the door of this garage and everything was, the whole place was completely jam-packed right up to the front of the door. So he had to pull things away to get into it because he was a collector. And interestingly, in the Matrix movie, Matrix 1, when you see the scene, which I worked, which I was sitting into, the scene of the room with full of old TVs, old vintage TVs, I can't remember the exact scene, but I had to sit there and look after that for a while. And that's the place where the Wachowski brothers came down and had an impromptu meeting with the second assistant director who ended up doing V for Vendetta. And they were discussing V for Vendetta and showing him animation cartoons. This is 3 or 4 years before they did that movie came out, maybe a little bit longer. But anyway, this guy collected things and he knew that old things will always be interesting. And he was right. So he had a shortage of space. So he just would rent garages out and everything. But when you went into his shop, he didn't want to sell anything, but he had everything supposedly for sale. And you'd ask him the price of something and he'd suddenly go, No. I'll get back to you in a minute. What was that, mother? Dinner time. Okay, I've got to go and have dinner. And he'd make excuses. He was Irish, not to sell anything. He was making more money leasing it to films. So he filled that scene in The Matrix Number One with old vintage TV sets from the 50s and 60s, from stuff he had in his garage. Incredible. I love that kind of person. You just don't want to be that kind of person because I actually am turning into that person because my garage is now almost impossible to go into. But keeping the past is so important. And I think Michael from Ancestry Antiques, who did host the antique show on the radio, was incredible for hanging on to items of the past. You know, old TV sets that, no, you can't use them anymore, but they look so cool. And if you're doing a movie or a TV show and you want something to look authentic, they go the props department, a very interesting in the film industry, the props department people are the most interesting as far as I'm concerned, because they go sourcing 1950s curtains, 1930s cars, whatever they want. These guys go out and they seem to have on a big budget movie, unlimited cash, which is why your movies cost, $150 million minimum to almost $1 billion, like some of the latest movies, be told. Very interesting. I love these old past. I love going to old shops and collectible shops, finding old magazines and stuff, because we need to hang on to it because they're coming after the past. Be told. They're coming after the past. Anyway, on that note, I'll wait for Ab to turn up and we will have a 1 hour or whatever my battery lasts on my phone discussion on the state of the planet on April the 29th, did I say? 2023. Be told. Hey, folks, this is Alan. What's his name? And you're listening to Rick Waiting for Ab on the Saturday, the 29th, or is it 30th, 2023. Yes, sitting here at a wonderful, beautiful house of mine, staring at the moon in the backyard. And interesting, I was just talking about the Matrix film and the locations and the strange things that they had all over the place just before. But I should be doing tours of Sydney, and anyone that comes to Sydney, I can take them and show them all the unusual spots where the scenes of that film were shot. and the second and third ones. I mean, they're all over the place. Balmain actually has a number of spots. The inner city, many spots. And one of the most interesting days that I was there was they were shooting on the MLC building at the top. They were doing the fight scenes where you see the cameras doing that special rotation thing and the big martial arts fight. And I got to meet John Woo's fight team. Very interesting. They're all like 5 foot two, 5 foot three little guys all arrive with these. They had backpack type things and long, all this equipment on their backs. There's martial art, whether it was mats to roll on or fight sticks or whatever they were using, but they came and they actually coordinated all of those fights with John Woo's fight team from China. Really interesting characters too. And again, very small, but fairly tough looking and very clever. Very clever. And they all shot that on top of a building in the center of Sydney with that camera trick. And it's still to this day, I think that's one of the things that sold that movie, the cameras that revolve around. I'm gesticulating with my left hand in a circular motion, that how you couldn't see the camera, but it went around the actor. I think that was a technique. Possibly they flogged from Asian martial arts movies. Maybe someone had done it beforehand. I've never seen it before. But that was one of the best, very interesting days of hanging around the sets of the Matrix movie back in 1998 or 1997. I think 1998, possibly. Can't remember. Anyway, I shall just mute and wait for Ab to turn up. I've got something interesting to talk about, the volcanoes. Volcanoes. I had a dream the other night that an active volcano where I grew up in New Zealand started erupting. And I looked behind me and I saw huge plumes of smoke from all up and down, you know, from miles away, that all the volcanoes have started erupting in New Zealand now. Next day, there's at least been two or three big earthquakes in the last week over there. They call it the Shaky Isles for very, very good reason. Because I was a hyperactive child, I never noticed the shakes, but so I was running around upside down and didn't sit down very often, still don't. But yeah, New Zealand's definitely in interesting days. And I'll tell you something very interesting. I had a conversation with Stan Dayo, D-A-Y-O. I went to see him in a lecture in 1996. And I went up during the intermission. He was standing around by himself, and I went up and chatted away to him because I'd read the books that he did. What was it? The Something Conspiracy. Huge seller. I mean, what was this? Y'all, I think a Rick talking himself.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support. Money.
You're talking to Rick on the 29th of April. You're talking to me. You're listening to me on 29th of April, 2023. I was just talking about Stan Dayo, who his last book he wrote is The Vindicator Scrolls. But he's a Christian, still about too. You can look into his stuff. He'd moved over to Australia, to Western Australia, in mid 90s. And was living there with his family. He came into the speech on earthquakes and earth movements in the future. Very interesting. And he said to the audience, and there was probably a couple of hundred or more people in the hotel lobby that we were all not lobby in the one of the venues that they have in quite a flash hotel. He said to everyone there, he said, hands up, who's dreamt of tsunamis or tidal waves? And I reckon 90% of people stuck their hands up, including myself, because I've been had it rammed down my ears and growing up in New Zealand about earthquakes and volcanoes, which are prevalent in New Zealand. We're on the rim of fire, or ring of fire, Pacific ring of fire. We're California, Japan, the Pacific Islands. And during the intermission, I went up and spoke to him. And I said to him, what do you think about New Zealand? And sorry, I said, how safe are we here in Australia? And he said, he said in the future, he said the worst place you could be would be facing New Zealand coastally in Australia. Because he was quite convinced it's going to shake that much. It's just, the whole place is just going to go down. And it's going to cause a massive tsunami in the, you know, he was talking about in the future, which we're now in the future. That was in 1996, which was now, you know, that's 27 years ago or more. No, 1996. Yeah, 27 years ago. Yeah. He was studying earthquakes and he spent all his time. He also claimed to have been involved with the FBI as well. Very interesting. So, and he looked like a bit of a spook, you know, if you've ever met one, and I have a couple of times. Or people have work in that kind of, there's a look about them. He was quite convinced that New Zealand is going not to be, or parts of New Zealand, maybe the North Island, or either way, all I know is the South Island's being bought up by the rich and famous, and Bill Gates has been one of the big ones that's buying up large chunks of land. Lots of politicians buying up large chunks of land and bolt holes, they call them, in New Zealand and Tasmania. Johnny come lately, you're Syrian. The Rothschilds have got a huge property in Tasmania, huge property. So they seem to know something. Is New Zealand a good place to go in the future? Stan Deo didn't seem to think so. I highly recommend you look into Stan Deo. You know, I'm not sure about everything, but his books were absolutely must-reads back, you know, if you're into conspiracies in the 80s and 90s. Probably may have come out in the 70s, to be honest. But, yeah, I got to meet him. A very interesting character. Very interesting character. So yeah, I met a number. I went to see in the 70s. I think I went to see the Swiss guy. What was that book about? Something of the gods. Oh, here we go. Ab.
Hey, good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Mr. Fakeologist. I was talking to myself as usual.
We're a day early today, but we're back for a weekly update. I've been off for a few days. Been ill for a few days.
Yeah,
feeling like a bag of rocks.
I mentioned to you, as soon as you say to your body, I'm going to take some time off, your body tells you, oh, no, this is time to clean then, and it's going to do the cleaning trick, which is making you sick, or depending, what was the matter with you? Were you flu-y or cold? Or
I just felt really weak and tired, and my stomach was shooting a few pain signals from that area. Mm-hmm. So I just stopped eating, of course. You don't eat if you're in pain down there.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a stressful week. Last Sunday, we tried to cross the border. I don't know if you heard or read.
Oh, yeah. I know nothing.
Anyone who reads the blog or reads or watches FakeoTube would have seen that, but I know we have a very segregated society at Fakeologists. Some people are on Discord, some are on Telegram, so that's fine. Mm. Yeah, we tried to cross the border and were refused entry because we did not, we we are not vaccinated.
No, you are joking. And this is 2023.
I know.
April. But America hasn't forgiven or forgotten, have they?
They have not. It's the only country in the whole wide world that's playing the game still. I thought it was just being enforced by air and by sea. That's my best information, because I have been reading for the last 2 years people driving over.
Yeah, what about Max Egan's thing about, he said he just walked through the gates in Mexico without showing his passport even. So do you think you can do it from Mexico, but you can't do it from Canada? Mm. Yeah, well, that's the next one. There you go.
I even just received my pre-clearance card, which we didn't apply for a couple of years because they do expire every 5 years and they weren't really processing them. So we applied for that. We got it within the last month, pre-clearance. So what we do is you take your card and it has an RFID chip. You hold it up to a sensor before you get to the border guard and it reads the cards. By the time you get to the border guard, he knows who you are. He knows you're pre-cleared. Mm-hmm. But after asking all the nice questions, where are you going, how long you've been gone, just to test you to make sure your information matches what's on his computer, because he already knows who you are because of this pre-clearance system, the last thing he says, are you vaccinated? And I said, no.
Oh, are you? No.
That's
no,
the last
no.
thing he said. Because I'm a bad liar, of course. And, yeah. So you get pulled over in the secondary. You don't just turn around.
Were you with your daughters? Did you have a child in the car? Did they roll their eyes? Were they rolling their eyes going, yeah.
One of the Catch 22 said, I have a bad feeling about this. Because as we were waiting in line, we're in the shortest line because we're in the free clearance line. And our line wasn't moving. The guy two cars ahead of us was stuck for 10 minutes, which is ridiculous. Usually they whisk through, but I said, we're in the fast lane going the slowest. So I said, this is not looking good. And then as we're waiting in line, in the line beside us, one lady smashed into the other waiting in line and smashed up her car right beside us. So he said, oh my God. And then a dark cloud rolled over, and it started snowing.
It sounds like a cartoon. Sounds like the Simpsons cartoon.
It couldn't have been more prescripted. So I said to my daughter, I said, why are you worried? It's flying and sailing, and it's not driving. So I was kind of surprised. Oh. But the minute he asked the question, I knew the game was over. And I wasn't going to pussyfoot around. I wasn't going to lie, because I figure I'd love to see this guy's computer screen. It's got to have the whole website on it. You know, he's probably sitting there reading everything, and it's got the whole
done. Reading the blog.
Exactly. No doubt. He probably just finished listening to the Rick and Ab show from last week.
Friend of knows Dave J. has spoken to Frank the Salt Guy recently.
Exactly.
All unvaccinated.
Why wouldn't he have all the info? So even if I said yes, he would ask for proof.
I told you when I was driving up, I had my sons in the car. This is about 5 months ago. I got the cops come behind us and, you know, flash the lights and pull me over. And the guy got out of the car, walked up to me, and he said, He looked at me and said, you know, you're the owner.
He said, hi, Richard.
He knew my name.
He said, hi, Richard.
Yeah, yeah. He said, hi, Richard. Hi, Richard. And I turned around and looked at my son. I went, like, what? I said, you know, because they don't believe anything I say, nothing that I say. And vindicated everything. He knew, he actually knew that it was me because he said, hi, Richard, because he looked at me, goes, you're the driver. He goes, you're all good. And said, have a nice day and just keep going. And I went, how would he have known my name, that I own the car, and that was me? Because he recognized me, obviously, my digital IDs on the, because I have a digital license, because I had to get one, apparently, but apparently I didn't, I got conned into it to hire a car.
Well, you're the owner of the vehicle, right? Your name's on the ownership.
Yeah, well, he seemed to recognize my face when he walked up and he said, you're Richard, right. And I said, yeah, and then said, have a nice day, keep going. It then dawned on me that they do. They've got everything on their computer.
They got a cross link. So are you the owner of the vehicle?
Yes.
So yes. It's cross linked to your license, which has the picture then, like that.
That's right. So he seems to recognize me.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So he must have your license linked to your car since it's the same legal name.
And it was just, you know, we're just doing random stops. It's like a random stop and you recognize me and you know me. Because as I said, I never use Richard ever unless it's a government entity.
Right.
And so that's when anyone uses that name.
That's your corporation
name. I know. Corporation
name.
So I know.
You're being addressed as a corporation.
That's right. And as soon as anyone uses that name, when they ring me or talk to me, I know they don't know me. They're addressing my corporate entity, and so I treat them exactly that way. It's like, you know, you tell them nothing and whatever. But yeah, so you had to turn around and go back home again.
Oh, they don't just let you turn around. Then you get pulled into secondary inspection, where they toss your car.
Oh, I'm doing that.
Oh. I know.
Really?
So you got it. So you pull over, you got to get out. The guy says, leave everything in the car except your cash. So you can't take your phone, you can't take anything. My wife wanted to throw out her coffee cup. Says, no, you can't throw that out. They don't want you. They don't want you throwing anything out that could be used against you.
Just go back. This is the Canadian border or the American side?
This is once we're in Detroit. So we drive over. The bridge is almost empty, and I thought, I know it's Sunday, but come on, where is everybody? Bridge is empty. I'm not used to going over empty bridges.
Yeah, would you in any way argue that we're now living in the new world order now? Not coming. It's here. And
oh yes, I just listened to a broadcast on that. Yeah, we have been in it. We're soaking in it, Madge. Yes, it's not coming. It's already here. Yeah, it's already here. Yeah. I just listened to a podcast where they said the exact same thing you just said. It's already here.
Yeah.
I can't remember what podcast that was. I just listened to that.
Interesting. So I was going to go back. I've already talked about it. I've had two incredibly stressful, physically draining days. I had to, I'll bring it up. I'll gloss over. I had to, people that gave me, they were renovating their kitchen, and they said to me, a year ago said to me, would you be interested in all the appliances? Cause we're getting rid of everything. And I said, absolutely. You know, cause they're all German made. You know, 3 years old. So big fridge, big six burner gas cooktop, and a German dishwasher. And yeah, I said yes, but all in the back of my mind for the last 12 months, I've been going, how the fuck am I going to get that up here? Because I don't like ringing up and asking favors and, you know, to come and lift things for me. And I knew that I'd have to do this without annoying people, which I did manage to do.
You have to call a moving company.
Well, I could have, but that would have cost me probably $1,000. And at the moment, I didn't want to spend $1,000. Well, yes, Ab. Look, I'm going to be honest here. Yes, it would have been. But I ended up like Frank's Luke 11 thing. Everything fitted into place. A week ago, a client I've got, I told him about it. He said, oh, take my ute. I've got a ute here. He goes, just take it. So I had a vehicle for free. I left in my van for him to use, and because my van wouldn't have fitted the stuff, but his vehicle did fit it all. Anyway, so I've done all that, but I've got I suspect broken ankle and severed. I'm limping for the last month now, and it's caused my tendon in my knee to go south, and so I'm like. Not in the great physical shape, but anyway, I managed to do it. I've done it all. It's in my garage. My son helped me this morning get it off the ute. I had a good friend help me. You know, Ab, I can't, I have to admit this here, tie down stuff like a truck driver. Truck drivers are experts at strapping and making things not move. And I yesterday rang a friend of mine. I was sitting there with all this shit on the back of this ute, huge. It's like a the fridge looked like a giant. You know the 2001 Space Odyssey, the giant monolith. black monolith. That's what it looked like on the back of this small ute. It was huge.
Yeah.
And anyway, a friend of mine, he came out. I just went and brought some straps that, you know, the ones that you use the truck driver
motorcycle
straps, you
know,
whatever they're called. Yeah. Well, the ones that you the ratchet straps, you kind of use the ratchet. Yeah. So I bought four of them and he did it all for me and it was perfect. And I drove back middle of the night last night, got back at 1 a.m. This morning, my son and I got it all.
Movers.
And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, Ab, this fridge weighs, I've never encountered anything like
pounds.
It. A giant double door thing. But anyway, then I've been lying in bed and I was thinking about, you know, remember the volcano in New Zealand just before before the COVID revolution, we had that volcano explode in the town I came from, or very close to it, and there were apparently 14 people or whatever killed. Yeah. And
hey, hold that thought, Rick. I don't want to miss a sec. Just hold it. Hold on.
Oh, that's good. You're listening to Rick and Ab. Rick and Ab on 29th of April, 2023, and I've got my black killer cat here. I've just fed him organic chicken, and he's very happy. He's prepared to kill anyone that comes near me. We're just going to wait for Ab to come back. But I can mute. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
All right, go ahead, Rick. Go ahead, Rick. Oh, I lost Rick. You're listening to
Rick and Ab.
Okay.
I muted. My phone takes ages to unmute. Anyway, I've been thinking because before COVID, Fakeologist audio chats and Fakeologist radio, we got to a stage where it was getting.
Oh,
quite,
no, after the
you're
break.
Listening to after the break. I'm on the ocean.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You're listening to Rick and Ab on the 29th, I do believe, of April 2023. And we're just talking about going back to... So I've been thinking, you know, before COVID happened, there was a sense of, you know, things had gravitated, you know, it was saying that, you know, 9/11 and all these other things, that so many things were completely fake and nothing was happening and it was all fake. And there was a way that I was picking up on that people were thinking everything is fake.
Well, and that's because of Donald Trump. Don't forget, he took the word fake out of fakeology.
Yes.
He stole it from
us. He stole it. Yeah, and
everything he disagreed with was fake, and he was right about half of it, but the other half he disagreed with. He just called it fake.
Anyway, when New Zealand had fake news, when New Zealand had that, there was a team of there was a group of tourists went on to White Island, which is just off the coast of where I'm from in New Zealand. It was always exploding. I mean, I got warned about. My mother was continually telling her, you know, to get under the tables. It's blowing up. You know,
really?
As soon as she saw some smoke coming.
An active volcano.
Oh yeah, because it was an active volcano just off the, you know, say a 30-minute boat ride from the coast. You could get out to an active volcano. So
wow.
We were scared
is
that
by a tourist attraction.
But anyway, apparently. According to the narrative, and just by coincidence, this morning while I was trying to unload all the stuff off the radio, I thought, I'll listen to my old favourite radio show that I used to listen to on Saturday mornings to give me a kind of motivation, the George and Paul show, which has been removed because they were anti. These two were completely anti-climate change, but always negative towards it. They had the most popular radio show on the weekends. They got sacked because of that, guaranteed. Even though they're the most popular, the minority...
I would argue that that's the excuse because old media is dead. D-E-D, dead, done. There's no money in it. Money's gone.
No. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Would they work anyway, for a tenth of the salary? Because that's probably what the income of the radio station has gone down to.
Interestingly, how they got the main guy to quit is that the station said to him, because over here, we've got really strong libel laws. I mean, if you say something about someone, you can get sued big time. And the radio stations used to support their hosts by paying into a very high-level insurance thing that would cover there if they got sued by an angry listener that got offended by something you said. And they said to him, we're going to cover the first 20,000 and then that's it. The rest is yours. So if he said something... that offended someone, which was very likely in this case, he was told that you lose your house or you're going to have to pay.
It sounds like Mark Stein and Global and GB News, same thing.
Mm.
That's what he was told. Yeah. That's what he was told. Yeah. He said, you can keep going, but you got to pay for your own insurance. That was in London.
Yeah, well, this guy just thought, interesting, it was GB as well was the name of the station, but he ended up just going, yeah, funny that he quit. Well, GB, it's named after Giordano Bruno, the theosophical, the head of the hero of the theosophists. That's what that GB stands for. Giordano Bruno. Yeah, be told 100%. Anyway, when I went on, I think I posted
thought it was
something
Great
about
Britain
it on Facebook. GB, well. The GB over here for our 2GB is named after Giordano Bruno for sure. They admit that. That's what it's named.
Mm. Okay.
Anyway, so I posted something about, I sent a photo of the volcano and I got, you had your usual, guys, the folkologist, royal types, like what's his name from France that, everything's fake, every animal's fake, whatever. They were saying it's a fake volcano. Unreal, yeah. Nothing happened. It's all fake. Now, I kind of got my back up for a while on that. And then recently I've been thinking, playing the devil's advocate here, this volcano went off. It was a major event in New Zealand. And I believe that, say I'm playing devil's advocate as a fakeologist type, maybe that they, because, the person all over the top of this was Jacinda Ardern. She was like the front and center of this disaster. She was the one, offering support and, all these people were supposedly taken to hospitals and sent around the world, to different burns hospitals. And then, not just today, but today I was thinking about, because I happened to be listening to a repeat of the reporting of that event. And I was thinking, could that have been a rehearsal for how can we shut down, control the narrative from hospitals to make sure that we can do whatever we want and keep it, the truth from coming out that there actually is no one in these hospitals.
Yeah.
And that this is an operation. Because it was about 3 months before COVID that it happened, literally.
Yes, I remember.
I'm now of the mind, maybe it was a test because New Zealand is used for a drill. Yeah, New Zealand is regularly used for big global events, to see how we can control something. Because you saw, just remember the shooting in Christchurch, which I suggested was way bigger than, and it was. It was the thing that led to the censorship of YouTube, live streaming of Facebook, all went after that shooting.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that volcano, say it was a fake story and it was just a thing. that what say that they were just, we need to know if we can lock down hospital, the, you know, say there's no one in these hospitals, nothing's happened. We need to know if we can shut the story down and keep it fake or whatever. And then 3 months later, they said, yeah, we're going to go ahead, bang, we're going to do COVID. You know, this is the elite.
I like
talking,
how you're, I like your logic. Mm. I like it. You know, you're acting more and more like a psychologist every day.
Sadly, yeah. Exactly. You know, well, is it, look, it's been milling through my mind for some
very
time.
Good.
Maybe that whole thing was just to say that this is how we can. So we can make sure that the hospitals, the chief of media at the hospital will not say that there's no one there, that he will go ahead and, because remember when COVID, they were saying there were people dying in hospitals and there's, you know, people falling out of windows in New York. If you've got a guy in charge of media at the hospital, the staff have been, the staff at a hospital, and I'm talking about specialists, just every general staff, they're on a contract at that hospital that if they break their contract, they're sacked. Now, yeah, maybe that was just a dry run for COVID to so that they could say, this is the techniques that these hospitals need to use. You need to have a media spokesman, and that media spokesman will be completely controlled by us. And he would have been, he or she would have been.
Everybody else, no comment.
No comment. Yep. No comment. So that was my today's.
I just read that, and I have to give you guys credit for you Kiwis, because you've got the Baileys. The Baileys are two doctors that quit medicine to fight what they saw was tyranny. And they are the absolute best source of all. No virus, vaccines are deadly in the entire world. I subscribe to their channel. I'm going to have to send them a few bucks because I don't know how they support themselves.
Tell me, what are they called? What's the name of the podcast or the show?
It's Dr. Sam Bailey. She is a...
Oh, she's gorgeous. She's absolutely beautiful.
This and her husband is the doctor, too. Yeah. And my God, she's very peaceful. She's the opposite of Alex Jones when it comes to explaining stuff. Very smooth, peaceful. Smart,
oh, you know, I love
gritty.
Her stuff. And in the middle of the what we've just been through 2 years ago, well, you just
she's
went through it on
Monday.
She's
still pumping out the material. Two videos a month. It's
excellent.
Amazing. It's amazing. And I put it on fakotube.com. Everyone should support her. I'm going to have to support her as well. Really great stuff.
So she would have lost her license to practice as a doctor by now.
She already, but that's why she already quit. She quit before they could pull it. Both of her husband and herself. He quit in 2018 before COVID, and she quit in 2021.
Yeah. So maybe there's a there with this New Zealand White Island eruption. It could have been staged.
How would you know if it was real?
Well, my version was it's too small a town for you to be able to hide that there was no victims because everyone knows everyone. And there was a huge tangi, which is a funeral for one of the victims in Whakatane or Whakatane, whatever they call it now, whatever. But I'm of the mind now, and I've been through, as you have, the last 3 years. They can do anything, and they do, they have been practicing.
Well, how do you know the victims were from the area? They could have imported them. Nobody knows everybody.
Well, look, that's what I'm saying. Could it have been the actual real operation to before lockstep? After lockstep and after. What was it called? 202, whatever, you know, the one that Bill Gates ran. This could have
event
been the
201.
One. Event 201. We need to know if we can lock down hospitals and only get our information released to the media.
Well, they already knew. They were just using this as a warm up. They knew they could do it. I just read that the crazy crime sinister of New Zealand just extended the COVID measures until 2024.
Yeah, they're no screwed. Doubt. I haven't seen that. Oh yeah. Interestingly, the guy that I get more information from New Zealand of lives in Tasmania. Johnny Come Lately seems to be all over a number of New Zealand sites and posts it and some good stuff. We've got Antipodeans there. Antipodean is ex-English, ex-Australian. Yeah, he's there, but he's right in the thick of it there. And they've just had three massive earthquakes right in the same zone as the – or two massive earthquakes as the floods just were. And those floods were way worse than the media portrayed. There was way more dramas over there that the media seems to have shut it down, and you don't really hear much about it. But interesting, you need to hear from people that are actually in the area so they can back it up. But, yeah, I'm definitely seeing that the scam hasn't gone away whatsoever. It's just hiding in other in certain countries. America seems to be obviously with what you just went through. It's still in COVID. It's still in the middle of lockdown. Really?
Well, they're not really locked down. They're just they don't want anyone coming in. They don't want travelers. When I went home that night, drove all the way back. Of course, we crossed at the farthest border point from my house because it was the fastest way to where we were going. So it was a long way back. And when I got home, I said, "You know, I'm just going to make a quick video on this and put it on where everyone can see it. TikTok, because TikTok's where it's at." So I made about a 90-second, really boring video. With two slides, one a picture of the bridge and one a picture of our denied crossing. They gave us a little slip. I took a picture of it. Said, "Unnecessary travel." Unnecessary travel. It didn't say not quaxined. It said unnecessary travel. And I put it on TikTok.
Unnecessary travel seems to be awfully Greta Thunberg-like, isn't it? Isn't it straight out of...
maybe that's the real thing they're getting at.
That's it.
What are you doing?
Oh no,
you're burning gas for what?
Unnecessary. You're burning gas, but you're going for a holiday, and you may be eating meat, and you may be which is unsustainable, and you might know someone that's got a chicken, and you might
on the way home. We stopped in at the local major coffee chain that killed all the other coffee shops, Tim Hortons. You probably may have heard of it.
We haven't got there.
Oh, no. I meant you might have heard of it from a Canada perspective. I know it's not there, but they just started serving some dish called Chipotle, which is sort of a Mexican.
Chipotle, yeah.
Oh, my God. Sauce. The picture looked really good. You know how the pictures on the LED screen look so good? So I ordered it. I ordered it, and when I got it, I was hungry. I showed everyone. I said, "This looks like a dog's breakfast." In other words, your dog wouldn't eat this for breakfast. But I ate that thing, and man, did I feel bad after. I put it on Twitter. I said, "Here's a public service announcement: do not order or eat this pile of garbage."
I've been on about food and restaurant photos, and what. Well, I would say possibly.
Food photos.
You know, when you go to say McDonald's, the photo of a cheeseburger or the fish and it doesn't look.
Yeah, they're not related.
Even a Big Mac, it's not the same thing when you're presented that it's a saggy looking bun, God knows what it's made out of, with a piece of cheese dangling out the bottom of it that they've microwaved.
It's all plastic. Those are plastic replicas.
Yeah.
Not to say the real thing isn't made of plastic.
No, Ab, if it actually was plastic, it would probably be better for you, to be honest, because it would actually look more like the thing that... Now, I don't know what's in it or what it meant to be, but it's some kind of sludge and slurry that they've concocted and they've thrown it together. I was in the supermarket tonight getting... I made my, after I did everything that I did today, I thought I got to have to mow my lawn, which I have to do out of OCD. And I mowed it with both legs. I should be in hospital, but I mowed my lawn with my legs and should be in traction. Anyway, I went to Woolworths afterwards. I had my oldest son with me, and he just said to me, he goes, "Dad, you look like a homeless person." I said, "I've just mowed my lawns. I don't dress in, you know, finery after I mow my lawns." And he was too embarrassed to walk with me. I had to like hobble along like a disabled person with a trolley while he walked about 15 feet in front of me, so he pretended he didn't know me. And anyway, this is all true. And I walked into the meat aisle, and there was all this Beyond stuff everywhere.
Oh.
And I went to go and get so I normally go and get grass-fed mince. That's not on the table anymore. You cannot buy it. It's all farmed, vaccinated. And this is what, changing the subject slightly, the Australian guys that do that great show that you and I keep Tom Barnett's crew.
Yeah, Tom Barnett.
They've been on about Tom Barnett. Their new thing that they're targeting is vaccinated meat. That your meat is being vaccinated and you shouldn't be eating it. So either way, we've got a. So unless you can get grass-fed beef that says organic, which means there's no vaccine in it, you cannot sell beef with the word organic and vaccinated at the same time. All of a sudden, you can't buy it anymore. There is no organic meat for sale. Well, certainly no organic mint. So they're coming after the farmers at the moment with their vaccines and saying that you cannot sell your product. And every time I listen to the radio in America, podcasts in America from, you know, some of the obscure ones, they're all going on about the amount of beef issues. They've got supply chain issues with beef over there. So obviously that's the next thing. And chickens now, they're bringing the avian bird flu to reduce your chicken intake. So as we just mentioned before, we're in the thick of Agenda 2030, Klaus Schwab's and Greta Thunberg's dream. It's happening. That we're not going into it. We're in the middle of it. You're listening to Rick and App.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is a higher servant from Vilnius, Lithuania, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio in fakeologist.com.
A higher servant. Is that how you say it? There you go. Higher servant. Fantastic. You're listening to Rick and Ab, 29th of April, 2023. And we're just saying that we are in the New World Order. We are in the New World Order. We're not going into it. We're not in the 2030 agenda in 2030. We're in it now. You just haven't noticed, possibly, unless you've tried to go to America from Canada, or you try to buy some organic grass-fed beef, which does not appear to be on the shelves anymore.
Actually, I did a show with my neighbor, actually. I finally hooked up with my neighbor who does a pretty good talk show.
Oh, excellent.
And
excellent.
He was saying, his name is Jeff Shepherd, Right on Radio. You can find it anywhere. Excellent. Just search Right on Radio and Jeff Shepherd. Really cool guy. He's quite awake. He goes on it from a spiritual angle. So he has a ton of the spiritual people, the religious type people, they really follow when it comes to radio shows. He has a pretty big following. I don't know if it's mostly religious, but he is quite awake. I would say maybe traditionally awake, but not a fakeologist awake, but he understands everything we talk about. He gets it. I'm not saying he agrees with it, but he can listen to it. So we did a chat with him, and he was telling me he sells Montana beef, and it's all the things you just talked about. It's this no vaccine, blah, blah, blah. But I said, man, how much does that cost to land that in Toronto, to cross the border and to get to to Toronto.
It's incredibly expensive.
Can't be cheap.
There was a range of organic beef mince there, but it was $10 more expensive or thereabouts. You know, it was $15 as opposed to $7. You know, so it was very expensive. So it just means that your outgoings are going to go through the roof if you're trying to. And if you've got, say, you've got a family of five and you want to feed them good food, unless you buy in bulk and you've got some kind of, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And I mean, my bills are just through the roof anyway. I mean, our power bills have just gone berserk, as you would know over there, I guess.
No, ours have not. The electricity has not moved.
Oh, that's good for you. For you, they've got you in other ways. But I, the vehicle I borrowed yesterday was a petrol ute, and it's $1.84 to $1.90 for regular, not high power fuel, because I wasn't going to put the cheap green stuff into his tank out of respect, because he'd lent me his vehicle. Anyway, as I was driving, I'm watching the gauge of a petrol vehicle literally as just going down very slow, like a clock. I've got a diesel van, and it's very economical compared to a petrol vehicle, that's for sure. But organic, non-vaccinated, grass-fed meat is going up like the way petrol is, and it costs you way more money to eat if you want to look after yourself. There's got to be a way of beating this. I don't know how it is, but I would say just buying in bulk and finding other people that are equally concerned about their intake of food, and do a bulk buy of
maybe
half. That's the only way to get through this, because it's going to be it's getting tough and tougher and tougher.
Let me get back to my bridge story. So we got the car. Car got tossed. The reason why they say take out your cash is because the Border Patrol allegedly has been accused of stealing money out of cars. So I guess that, because I thought, why would you say take your cash out? Who leaves cash in their car?
Yeah.
Anyway? I thought that was funny. So we get pulled in a secondary and we have to sit and wait for them to process us. And, they just go through
it
again.
Did you feel like a criminal? Do you feel like a criminal?
Of course.
And so does it put you off track? It puts you off traveling and getting into your vehicle and going anywhere.
Well, because who wants to pack up and then turn around and have an 8-hour there and back when you just end up at home on the same day?
Imagine if you had your children that were, say they were 5 and 6 year olds or 7 year olds or 8 year olds, and they're expecting to go to Disneyland or some amazing place, and dad stuffs the whole thing up by some medical choice.
Yes.
The kids are sitting in the back going, I'm sorry to save your life.
So you can't see Mickey Mouse.
Mickey and Donald don't want to see you because Dad hasn't been vaccinated. And you haven't been vaccinated. But your life will be a lot healthier if you don't. And I'm telling you, it's starting to happen. Have you seen the amount of bus drivers having heart attack stories? There was another one on the news today.
I hear medical emergency on the highway all the time. There's a medical emergency on the highway here. Two lanes are blocked. Yeah, I keep hearing that.
Right. Well, today,
what's the medical emergency? It can't be a toothache.
It was a heart attack, usually by bus drivers.
Yeah, who wants to be on that bus?
This is the same story that I'm hearing all the time. The last one I heard was an Italian child. His bus driver had a heart attack on a dangerous road, and he jumped over and pushed the guy over and pressed the brakes, and they managed to save the bus. But today, I was in America, and an American bus driver had a medical emergency, and a young guy save the bus.
Yeah, so I this think is I a heard mainstream. One, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So this is basically going on every time you switch the news on.
So once we got turned around and they opened up the cage and let us out and then opened up the special gate to go back over, when I got to the Canada side and gave that woman the return to sender paperwork, I just asked her, I said, are you getting a lot of these? Because I thought this was over on the land crossing. And she said, oh, yeah, there's quite a few come back. I said, well, it would be nice if people would publicize this so others don't waste their time.
Before you get into the car and drive, you know, hundreds of miles to go to Wally World or wherever you were going.
Yeah.
Wally World.
Yeah, Wally World, exactly. Wally World.
Just let us know that we're going to get interrogated by military clad, uniformed thugs that are on the other side of the border. Because it's just embarrassing. I mean, look, I haven't been through that, to be honest, but I wouldn't even try. Like back in the day, you know, when you weren't allowed to go through the border to Queensland.
I wouldn't have tried before, yeah. But like I said, and everyone, it's just everyone that I've heard, it the border thing was only a thing for a couple months, as far as I could tell. Then I'm hearing so many stories of people going over. Anyway, so I made the TikTok video. And within one week, 200,000 views. My first viral video.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah, crazy. 2,000 comments. I replied to most of them. And most people were sympathetic. A couple of people said, just take your shot, blah, blah, blah. Probably bots. But for the most part, I got a lot of stories saying, yeah, it happened to me, happened to me, happened to me, happened to me. I said, wow. So it's still happening all across the Canadian border going into the U.S. There's no one crossing that's maybe better than the other. A couple of people said I should have just gone upriver and crossed again, but I figured there's... I figured with computers, of course not. Of course not. We weren't just turned around. We were processed, for Christ's sake. So you don't think they would have punched that in? And then it would have probably been
embarrassing.
The next time you wouldn't have pulled
out of the car and said, sir, we've got to do this because, you know, I'm looking in the future that they're going to pull you out of the car and force vaccinate you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the kind of way this is going. I mean,
that's the way it's going, yeah. That's dark.
Well, if we went back and listened to our shows from, which I do occasionally do, from 2017, say, or 2018.
Yeah.
You'd get that kind of the suggestion that this could happen, and people go, no, they'd never do that. They'd never do that. Well, I'm afraid, having been through, you know, being pulled over by cops, in the lockdowns when I was going in there into Sydney when you weren't meant to go there, and I got pulled over by a couple of cops, and they got out and they checked my ID, and not my ID, that I just gave my business card and my driver's license. Yeah, that's my ID, I suppose. Yeah, and they just went, yeah, keep going, because I said cleaner on the thing, which is essential. You know, you're an essential thing. But if I'd pull out my wallet as a
COVID cleaner, CC.
I used that. I actually drove for 2 years. I kept I didn't take it out of its bag, but it was one of those like a protective suit, and I had a protective mask in a bag, which I never ever used. But if I was pulled over, I'd say
hazmat all over it.
yeah, all of that, you know, bright orange, you know, splashing lights, and you know, you'd get away with it because they'd say, you know, oh, you're part of us. But I know people, and that's why I keep saying we in Australia, anyway. I mean, it's completely free here. That they're not even bringing up. Yes, they do occasionally. There's vaccine booster shot adverts on the radio regularly. Flu shot is for free. Yesterday, Ab, if you wanted your flu shot, it was for free. You could go down and get your, You know, they were giving it out for free. Now, in the world, if you're a diabetic and it wasn't sustainable, you know, like you'd have to have a identification thing to get your free diabetes medication. Or, you know, but that's the way. Now they're offering these flu shots for free. So yeah, but the flu shots are 100% free, and they're encouraging you to go down to these giant areas where they're giving free flu shots. That's going on right now here. And I suggest the flu shot is the one that you want to be way more wary
they're
of.
They're all poison.
It's probably the same.
Why do they call it the flu shot? It's a vaccine. It's toxin injection. Yeah. Why does it get a different name? It's the same garbage. Mm. Would you take it if it was the flu vaccine? I don't know if that has the same ring to it. You know, it's not good marketing. It's not. It's a vaccine. It's a toxic shot, for God's sakes.
That's
what started this whole thing in Italy and Wuhan, is they gave out the mRNA flu vaccine that poisoned the hell out of a bunch of people.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. I agree.
So I'm a bit of a TikTok star. I'm pretty excited about it. But
that's fantastic, Ab. I'm very impressed. I hadn't heard any of the story up until this afternoon when I flicked onto
my. I did a show on Monday about it, but after that, Tuesday Uncle Epic wasn't available, and then Wednesday I came home and went right to bed because I was feeling like a dog's breakfast. I was feeling Sunday.
Okay. So you got sick after you went through the rigmarole.
I guarantee you that right away.
If anything would push you into feeling sick, it's the stress of the humiliation of going for a family holiday and having an official with a fucking badge, which I cannot stand, that seems to have it over you. That would push you into stress zone to make you sick. It'd be
very apologetic, and they all forgave me, but they said it wasn't your fault. They said, well, it kind of was. I do take the heat because I'm the head of the household. I felt bad. I was genuinely surprised. I was really surprised that it happened.
Ab, you're more lucky that your daughters haven't gone and been shot up out of, you know, rebellion.
I'm glad they're alive.
Because as I said, my daughter did it because she said I needed the work. You know, she wanted to work. She was already overseas. And she said she felt sick as a dog and da 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 da. Everyone that I know that did it, but luckily my two sons are free, except for one had a flu shot 2 years ago, and I'm telling you now, he never used to get sick until he had the flu shot, and about a year afterwards, he was. Yeah, I'm more concerned about the flu shots as being the because people go, just have the flu shot, don't get the COVID one, just get the flu shot. People do
what's
it.
The difference?
They think,
that's because they're used to one. They're used to one marketing over the other. It's just a time thing where they've heard about the flu shot, flu vaccine for years. Nobody talks about it being something harmful because they just think, how could something so good for you hurt you? People can never reconcile that. They'll never believe it. Never would something that's supposed to help you make you sick. But then if it did make you sick, well, then that means it's working. You know, they have a million ways to rationalize it. It's really ridiculous.
That's what I was saying last week when I left car keys in my van. I didn't get angry. I just went into denial that this isn't happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. And that's the normal human trait. Your body will go into... You know, if something really bad happens, you just go, no, it's not. This isn't happening. I was in denial that I locked my keys in my van. I fixed the situation up eventually, but the human being is so well read and so easily controlled that that they know that even if people start it, your next door neighbor drops dead, the day after they got their flu shot, people go, oh no, it's not that, it would be something else. That people do not want to believe that the government are that nasty to bring in something so toxic.
Well, that's because the thought of that is dreadful. If you knew your government was trying to kill you, how could you even carry on?
Exactly. And that's how they're getting away with this.
And write them a check every three months. Write them a check saying, here, prosecute me more, make me kill me more. Here's some money. We call them taxes. Here, take some more of my money. Hey, I'll just pay you because you're so benevolently trying to kill me. Thank you.
Yeah. The human race is so easily manipulated that we saw it, and we did see for at least 3 years, the last 3 years, that people were complaining and, you know, ringing up and reporting their next door neighbor for having a visitor. And that was going on here, left, right, and center. The next door neighbors reporting the next door.
That is just.
Again, even the police got sick of listening to people ringing up and dobbing and, or like all that, dobbing, reporting their next door neighbor for having a visitor over on a Sunday when it was a lockdown. And I thought,
that's why we're doomed when the neighbors are doing that. How can you fight that?
No.
It's these people that want it.
And they do.
It's that 30% of people that believe it, that control, that are the majority. See, like I said, 30% is a majority in most democracies. So that they're the dangerous ones, the 30%. The rabid for something.
And right now, they're keeping everyone from looking at what's really going down. But they're too interested in seeing Donald Trump's court case or, you know, some non-story somewhere on the news or whatever. People they want to hear celebrity stuff. They want to hear everything. They do not want to know that their lives are being completely and utterly run by men wearing blue uniforms or whatever color uniforms that they're wearing and telling you what to do. It's a fact, and it's happening. You're listening to Rick and App.
Hi, this is Matty.
This is Maria Lakita.
Mark Manuel.
This is OBF.
Noise level. Polly Wilson.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Napoleon Wilson, I just heard that voice. What a voice. Where is he? Why doesn't he come on and do some live chats? Because Rollo's gone. He won't be back. He will. And right now, Rollo Report, he is right now at Amel and the Sniffers and the Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction and another band all playing live.
He's functional? Rollo's functional.
Yeah.
Isn't it again?
Well, you heard me and you chatted last Saturday and I said about my concern about him driving a vehicle and that is how our arguments are at the moment of me saying, Rollo, do not... Well, guess what he did? He got on his vehicle, reversed down his driveway and went straight into... he went off the driveway and landed... His car went... Yeah. And was there any surprise from me? No. And then, blow me down, the other day, he fixed that. His ex took his car off him, then gave it back to him 3 days later, which is an incredibly stupid thing to do.
Is that the Celica or something else?
No, he's got a little Hyundai i30, I think they're called. They're a small vehicle that's quite easily managed unless you've drank two bottles of vodka. He then, the other day, I've been warning him, if you do what you're doing, you're going to slip over and land on your head and you're going to have a brain injury and you're going to get carted around in a wheelchair, dribbling and pretending to be useful to society.
Yeah.
Sure enough, he slipped.
A drool cup.
Yeah, a drool cup. He got up. slipped over to try and avoid standing on Rosie and then landed on his head and bleeding out of every... Literally, he said to me, I'm bleeding out of every orifice. And I counted every orifice he could be bleeding from. And apparently he ticked every box.
The seven?
About 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
22
six,
bones,
yeah,
seven orifices.
Seven, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, seven. Yeah, so he's bleeding out of seven. But he's off tonight seeing Amy and the Sniffers or Amel and the Sniffers.
I like
and
them. I like them, Amel and the Sniffers.
Yeah, so, well, hopefully, I said to him, offer $500 for a photo opportunity and take a, you know, sign and have fakeologist.com and, you know, make yourself useful if you're going to go there. And he's there now. He actually offered me a $200 ticket for free if I go with him. And I said no because I've just been through, you know, I had to get all this shit up here. Well, not shit, it's my new kitchen. And so I said, no, sorry, I can't do it.
Your new kitchen in your garage.
Yeah, my new kitchen in my garage. But, yeah, he's right now in having a great time, I imagine. A great time.
Oh,
but,
good for him.
Yeah, no, Ab, it just concerns me, your story, that's going on right now. There's no – so, you know, we haven't moved forth. We're still in
– in the United States. And as I said, this corona, this operation, this Department of Defense operation, and I will still say, if you want to get the clearest, most calm picture of what it is, Catherine Watt of bailiwicknews.substack.com, she outlines this perfectly. This is a military operation, bar none. She explains it perfectly. Yep. This operation was planned carefully, et cetera, et cetera. It's not, this is no accident. It's military precision. Follow her. But this was to bring down America.
Yeah.
So America is the one that is the biggest target of all because it's the hardest nation. Australia, New Zealand, Canada, they could flip over tomorrow.
Yeah, Ab, I listened to Tim Kelly's one of his latest ones.
Oh yeah,
and I was listening. It was him and what's his name? The guy that did Caesar's Messiah. What's his name? Joe Atwell. Right. If what they're saying's true, America's look. I'm telling you, it's. Apparently they've got this thing called they're introducing it in not Florida, some city in America. It's basically they're going to have non-custodial crime zones where you can do anything you want and they're not going to lock you up, and that includes anything.
That's called Portland, Oregon.
It's probably that area. I would say
Seattle, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, left wing.
It seems to be look. There seems to be Seattle. Seems to be the go-to zone for the end of America. They're really focusing on Seattle as a, you know, in Portland as a this is the rest of America is going to go this way. And if I believe Atwell and Kelly's reporting. And these non-custodial zones, whatever, is it non-custodial? It's basically no, and when you non-incarceration zones or whatever they're going to call it.
Okay.
So you can do whatever you like in these zones. You can be carrying a gun with drugs in your hand, just beating your wife up on your way to do this, and they're not going to lock you up. They're just going to give you cautions. If that happens. You're going to see this is straight out of communist Russia. This happened in Russia before the revolution. There was the same thing happened. You know, they were trialing.
I think the major retailers are pulling out of those areas. They're just closing their stores.
They are. They are. And, you know, Walmart's pulled out of about nine or 10 areas.
Yeah.
Yeah. completely like removed
from
the
shop. Target,
then they know what's coming.
Yeah.
They know what's coming. Yeah.
Well, their whole inventory goes out the front door right after it comes in the back door. So what do you expect? Yeah.
And they don't seem to... I don't know. I've never been to America. I've got no concept of America, really, to be honest, other than what I've seen on the media. My daughter's friend from Nebraska, he's back again. He's staying right now, not far from me. He, when you speak to these people, he seems to be, everything seems fine over there in Nebraska. It's, whatever. But he's only 21 or 22 years of age. Do these people realize what life was like in 1960, 70 and 80 and 90 and even 2010? Things are going really bad. If what I'm hearing is true, then I'm very concerned for America. Because that's the last bastion of freedom. Well, if America goes, we all go. We all go.
How do you know what it's like in America when you don't live in it?
I just said that. Do you understand what I'm talking?
Oh, right on, brother. I just hopped in the conversation.
Well, right. I know. You got to listen to the whole thing. Yeah, you got to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, see. Yeah.
I said very clearly that I don't know what it's like to be in America.
Yeah,
okay.
Very clear.
Perfect. Perfect. But what else do you want to know about America since I'm an American?
No idea. I was just remarking that I've got a bloke from a Nebraska staying with my daughter, and he seems to think it's all fine in Nebraska.
Well, Nebraska doesn't see shit, so there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
What do you mean by that? What does that mean?
Nebraska has no inside jobs. There's nothing going on in Nebraska. It's mostly Colorado, California, New York, Florida that you're seeing these inside jobs.
What's an inside job? Are you talking about just psychological operations? Yeah, Nebraska is the Cornhusker state. It's a very rural state. And I have to agree, you don't hear about any ops in Nebraska. No. I can't think of one.
Can you tell me what the inside jobs were for Colorado again? There's a specific name, I think three words.
ICE, Integrated Capstone Events. Yeah, Colorado is a hotbed.
Yeah, so didn't you say it was number one?
Well, I don't have a ranking of the states, but you guys definitely have a lot of military bases in Colorado, so that would be a great place to do your ops for sure. I can't think of one. Obviously, there's got to be a military base in every single state, but Nebraska never does come up. It's mainly farm country as far as I know.
The reason why is because there's no military bases located in Nebraska. There's actually two or three of them located in Colorado, and one of them is located in Cheyenne
Aurora.
Mountain.
Well, I know that. That's Northcom.
Look, yeah. Cheyenne Mountain is where they do all the intelligence.
Yeah, that's Northcom. Northcom. Even Canadians are in the mountain.
But why do you say Aurora?
Aurora, I believe Aurora, well, the Aurora movie theater shooting, but I believe there's a base in and around that area, is there not?
There is a base, but the base has no relations to the intelligence.
Okay. Well, it's certainly a basis for pulling military people that will do what you're told, do as they're told.
Well, yeah, if you've got two or three, four military bases in Colorado, I like to think that it's a military hotbed.
I like to think you're right.
Yeah,
militarized state, no doubt.
So Nebraska is pretty silent in regards to inside jobs, 100%.
Yes, yes, we agree. We're speaking and going in circles, but I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
If we're gonna dance in circles, at least we can agree.
We'll agree dancing in circles. And just give me 2 seconds, Rick.
Yeah, no worries.
No worries, man. I'll mute.
On the Rick and Ab.
That's it. It's the one.
All right, I'm back. Yeah, so that was my week. Crazy week. Glad Rolo's having fun with his entertainment. Staying somewhat on the road. I guess he took a bus to the music festival.
Sorry, Eb.
Yep.
Sorry, Eb.
All right.
Yeah, no, he I don't know. He went with Josh. Josh's mum, and maybe Josh and his.
Oh,
wife,
right. She used to come on the air. What's her name?
Joe
and Josh.
Joe.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Joe and Josh lately. They were quite the entertaining couple.
You haven't heard from Rollo for I don't know how long now, but no change. And he's very prolific, posting Joker memes and stuff from the Joker movie. If that's what you're into,
no,
I'm not. But no. I haven't seen the movie. I do believe. Look, I probably would enjoy it. You know, to be
dark.
Honest.
Yeah, it's not an uplift. It's not an uplifting movie. I wouldn't see it if you're in a bad.
No. Yeah.
Not too many Hollywood movies end dark, as far as I know. They always try and lift you up, even if it's fake.
Yeah, we're in the dark days, Ab, that the movies are being pushing a negative
dark
thing.
And as I mentioned
before, and I'm just looking at it now, the Midnight Cowboy, the making of Midnight Cowboy movie, that movie. I probably did see it, but I remember thinking this is so depressing. But when you look at the people behind the movie and who produced it and who wrote it and everything, that was part of the Bring Down America agenda, and it came out in 69, the same year that Iggy Pop and the Stooges came out. It was bringing America down, and we're now watching live to air America being in absolute chaos. And again, if Tim and Joe's show's accurate, Tim Kelly, yeah. Look, I haven't been listening to a lot of his stuff, but I do like Tim Kelly, and I like Joe Atwell, even though I don't
agree
with
everything
Joe
Atwell
says.
This is the latest show.
It was probably 2 or 3 episodes. They've got a particular show that they do together. And
every Friday, just
have a look. Yeah, and I do think they're pretty sensible guys.
And it's called Our Interesting Times, if anyone wants to go look it up.
Yeah, that's Tim's show. And then they do a show on Our Interesting Times called whatever it's called. It's Joe and Tim do it.
Thing. Yeah. Well, it's called
something
else.
Yeah, it's got a different name. But so all I'm saying is that if that's true, what's happening in those regions of America where they're not going to jail people for crime.
Yeah.
You've already seen it. You already saw it with those Antifa and those zones. What do they call those zones? The something or other zones that they were.
Yeah, some autonomous zones or, yeah.
Autonomous, yeah, oh, you, exactly, you just said it. Autonomous zones or non-autonomous zones. But,
anarchy.
I've never been to America. Yeah, but basically no law, no rules. Just
yeah,
do
lawlessness
what you want.
Areas. Yeah, it's not really anarchy.
And so it's quite obvious that they're flooding those drugs through Mexico coming from China, the drugs, fentanyl and whatever other drugs that they want to bring in, but fentanyl's definitely one of them. And when you, so what they're doing is when someone dies of a fentanyl death, clearly an overdose of fentanyl, they're somehow changing that to say it was a racial, there was a racial aspect to him dying. They're not blaming fentanyl as a drug. So I do say this.
Yeah, how you can bring, how you can bring ethnicity, because I hate the word race, how you can bring that
into the conversation is
a miracle.
Well, they do. They do. They do, and using it all the time. I mean, all I get, what's going on in America via Tim Kelly, via, say, or even Higher Side Chat.
I still think you should try the No Agenda show. I think you'd like it.
Yeah, I'll give it a go.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, the No Agenda show makes money. There's, even if they're lying about half of it or not telling all of it, it adds up to a lot. It's got to be.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, no, I listen to mainly American shows, so I kind of got a interesting cross kind of pollination. You know, like what's his name, James Evan Pilato's in New Mexico,
him and Corbett,
he's annoying, you know, he's
kind of annoying to me. I can't place it.
Well, I've never listened to Corbett for 2 years. I haven't listened to Jay Dyer for about a year. I've stopped listening to some shows just out of, you know, because Dyer ended up, he does a lot of religious debates and, you know, orthodoxy over Catholicism. To be honest, to me, it's like, you know, it just does not compute. You know, I'm not into either. Maybe he's right for doing so, I'm not sure, but a lot of the good ones, I've got to keep saying this, there are so many good information sites that are just gone now that you can't get stuff off them, or they've passed away, like we lost, last 3 years, we lost Alan Watt, Chris Kendall, people who are getting a kind of an interesting kind of melange of information. I don't mind listening to Corbett back in the day, but even he doesn't interest me that much anymore. And yeah, it's sad we've lost a lot of our regular the regulars that we listen to.
But on the flip side, there's a lot of new people too.
Even on Fakeologist, you've got a lot of people that are there that live in America and that should be doing accurate reporting. That's why I'm still, I go on to IPS and listen to, or just read the comments, you know. He's mainly, Tim's mainly concerned with this guy that he's trying to sue, the Kiwi, Samoan, the guy that he reckons is running the Q narrative that's attacking him.
Marcus Goldfinch, but he hasn't been talking about that lately.
Okay.
I think Tim is busy trying to get a place to live, and I think he's living in a hotel with bad Wi-Fi.
Oh, really?
All hotels have bad internet because they use Wi-Fi, and Wi-Fi cannot be split 100 different ways. If it is, you'll get no signal and you'll get no internet. And I know hotels used to be wired. You used to be able to plug in your Ethernet to it. That worked fine, but now it's all Wi-Fi. So he does a show, but he doesn't use any video because it uses up too much bandwidth.
Well, interesting. I've just downloaded 6 of his last shows onto my phone. But when I play them, it still comes out as a visual. And when I press remove screen, it cuts it off. I can't listen to it. I just want audio. I don't want visual. I cannot stand visual. Well, not can't stand. I just rather audio for some reason.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, last Sunday, I decided to start watching more TV. You know, not watching more TV, but I watched a couple of movies again that I've seen before. And I watched No Country for Old Men twice on the same day, once by myself and once my son. Yeah, I think the Coen brothers, that those movies are just entertaining. I just find them absolutely fantastic. Good movie. And it's so full of, there's stuff in there, but it's probably.
Who was in that?
Not. Oh, the son of.
Bruce Dern?
No, he'd be the only, he should have been in it. No, it had everyone. It had, what's his name? That his father's a reputed hitman for what's his name? That was in Cheers, Woody Harrelson. French, the Spanish actor, Javier Bardem, who played the hitman, and the son of what's his name? Josh Brolin playing the main guy, but. It's just a good movie. It's, I don't know why I like it. It's dark. It's got great character actors. The Coen brothers are fantastic directors. I don't care what anyone says. Way better than the Wachowski brothers. I mean, I don't even think... I watched The Matrix for the first time in its entirety last year, I think, or this year, and not impressed. But the Coen brothers, they just do really entertaining movies. And... if that's America, I like it. They capture a part of America that's probably lost now.
Are they even around anymore? I never hear their name.
I don't know. Rollo would know, though. He is an absolute expert at any of these movies. So you've got The Joker 2 coming out next year with Lady Gaga and Joaquin. What's his name? Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix. It's probably going to be good. And I'm sure the movie was good with, you know, I've seen Robert De Niro getting shot about 1,000 times, though, thanks to Rollo. And that's the only scene I really know from that movie. And good on him. But, look, is America in as bad as they say? By the sound of it, what you just reported by trying to get in there, yes, it is. Yes, it is. If you can't just walk through the gates and go.
Well, you can't as a foreigner. You can as an American, but you can't as a foreigner. So I had to go as a foreigner and couldn't get in. And, that means a lot of people aren't getting in. A lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is too bad for them.
Well, you were going over there to spend money, Ab. You were going into America to spend your hard-earned money. Mm. And did you? No.
No.
So they don't care about. But if you were a refugee, Ab, if you were a Ukrainian refugee, you should have said to the guy, I'm from Ukraine and I've got my family with me and we need to escape from...
Everyone said that. Everyone said you should have driven to Mexico and cross. Well, check the map. It doesn't work that way. you can't drive to Mexico
If somehow you could get Canada to be rejoined with Mexico. Now, is there anything in, do you remember the, I think Alan Watt talked about it, there was a number of them, they were all saying that the head of Mexico, the head of Canada and the head of America back 20 years ago, the bringing in a common, what would they call it? The
Amero.
The Amero. Whatever happened to that? Didn't happen.
Well, I think, I don't think they said that was going to be a thing, but maybe they were just projecting that there still could be a digital world currency. There could be regional currencies. The only thing that's really happening with currencies that I'm reading is that major countries are getting rid of the U.S. dollar and replacing it with the yuan because everyone does business with China, and China's starting to say, just pay us in yuan. So.
Yep, that was
Argentina, apparently. Yeah, Argentina is.
Well, that,
has that, to pay their, for their Chinese stuff and want.
Yeah, Tim Kelly and Atwell were talking about that.
So the question is, what? Oh, yeah. That is the real thing that I think can hurt America. So what is that going to do to America when their dollar
destroy
is
it.
Not propped up?
Destroy
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be a doomsayer, but it can't be good.
No, well, I've been, ever since I heard that the Tavistock meeting and that Alan Watt used to read about on his show 30 years ago, certainly 20 years ago, the meeting in the Blue Mountains in Sydney that we talked about with Melissa on that show, they said that America will be superseded by China. World police will be China. America's going to give up their sovereignty to the pointy sword of the world order will be run by China. I'm afraid to say that's quite obviously going to happen, and America has to fall. And there will be giant super cities in America that will still keep functioning, but the rest of the rural and certain areas of America, they're going to go south. It's not going to be the power state that it once was. It already isn't. And they're using Donald Trump as the guy to bring this in. Because everything you hear about Donald Trump now, porno movies, rape, you know, he's the new Clinton as the fall guy for America.
I think he's lost all his buzz, though. Don't you think the bloom is off the rose? Personally, I think even I ignore anything that has the word Trump in it. I don't care. Do you think anybody cares, really? I think they're just pounding it. They're just flogging a dead horse.
No, but it's part of it. So like people assume, well, this is the NLP thing, that when they say Trump, they think people think of America or the capitalist side of America, and they know that it's got to go. And he's, you know, porno, rape, all these words are being mixed in with Donald Trump right now on the media here and wherever else. So he's being used like Clinton was used, you know, 30 years ago as, you know, the end of America as the cultural weapon superiority, the country that was, you know, that you all worshipped, that was running the world. It's going to go. And I mean, it really is going now. And that movie, be guaranteed told, is White Noise. That's basically spelling it all out, that America's going. And
yeah, but luckily almost nobody watched it, I think.
They got the publicity, though, from the conspiracy sites, and a lot of conspiracy people probably watched it.
Yeah.
I haven't, obviously. Yeah, I don't have...
I tried to watch it. It's not watchable.
Yeah, you said. I believe that. But yeah, no, it's all going south. What can you do? What can you do? It's not get stressed and just allow things to
just
function.
Stand by and watch it happen. That's all you can do. I'm not going to worry about it. Anyway, I can't do it. Only worry about what you can something about.
We can't do anything. Anyway, Ab, I'm going to go now because I think it's time I went. But
thank you, Rick.
Good speaking.
Are you coming
in
tomorrow?
And yes, definitely, 100%. I'll be there.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
We'll do the same thing tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah, and full of information.
I have one last possibility why I got ill is I finally got my new car after 10 months. And
really?
they treated the interior with some kind of preservative, and it is so it's so stinky. I'm thinking that if really we get sick by injury, malnutrition, or toxicity, I'm thinking the interior is totally toxic, and that's what may have done me in.
It is.
And what do you think?
100%. No, I'm agreeing, and I'm telling you, you're 100% right. The book. Slow Death by Rubber Duck says that the stuff they're using in new cars, it's full of phthalates.
No good for human
toxins.
No, absolutely not. Be told, 100%.
I've driven the last couple of days with the windows open, but this morning I'm talking to you, so I can't do it. And plus, it's raining and it's been cold, so I think I can't air it out enough.
Ab, global warming you're talking about, cold rain.
We're having a pretty cold, rainy, miserable spring. So just, yeah, there's no warming here.
Anyway, I'll chat to you tomorrow night.
It's just bad weather. All right, take care.
Yeah. All right, I'll see you at the same time.
Same time, same place. And who same do we place. Got left
same
here?
Same bad time.
Same bad same place. Bad all right, thank you, Rick. I'll let the others who came in and crashed the party to speak if they want.
Yeah, because it doesn't.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Ab. Thank you, Ab.
Well, I'm trying we will to see hit, you but tomorrow. It won't happen.
You shall do. Well, hopefully I'll get a Rollo report on Amel and the Sniffers.
Yeah, have him on.
Well, I would love that, but he just doesn't seem to be able to get himself together to even – he can't chat on the Rick and Rollo side even. He phones me. He phones me, and we have some fantastic conversations, but –
All
right. Yeah, hopefully I'll try
to get his crap together.
Get his shit together and come on and especially if he gets to meet her, which I said offer $500 and
meet Amel.
Cash. Meet Amel, yeah. Amy, her name is. But yeah, all right.
Why
Ed,
not?
I will go. Take care. I will go, and I will see you, mate.
All right, take care. There goes Rick. Any other dudes want to step up and take Rick's place? You can try. Rick is a legend, of course. Legendary Rick.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.